Well, I hope you're enjoying your holiday weekend and have anticipation of a holiday tomorrow. I was thinking this morning, though, every Lord's Day is Memorial Day, isn't it? Because we remember Him who was fallen for us, and we celebrate His resurrection from the dead. And so I thank you for honoring Jesus Christ, our great and high commander, the way you've done so this Lord's Day. As we turn our attention to the Word of God, I'm going to read from the book of Jonah, and I invite your opening to this passage. It's not a book we turn to a lot, so I thought it might help you to know that in my Bible it's page 802. Whether or not it is in yours, maybe it'll get you in the neighborhood. The book of Jonah, we're just going to read the first three verses of the first chapter to begin. Please follow along as we read from the Word of God together. Jonah 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going down to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I was watching an interview on late night television, and the host of the show was professing his faith and belief in the Bible. And his guest, who was a well-known rationalist, he calls it, said, "You mean in your intelligence that you believe the Bible?" And the host was quick to say, "Well, I believe the Bible, just not the silly stuff." And while he didn't elaborate what he meant, I propose to you tonight that what we're going to study, many people would call the silly stuff. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. He was a historical character. He was a real person. He is also mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25 as prophesying during the days of King Jeroboam II. This was a period of Israel's history where they were expanding their borders. They were prosperous. And Jonah, the son of Amittai, was right in the middle of that. Not only that, Jesus himself puts his stamp of approval, not just on the man Jonah, but on what many find to be the most unbelievable part of the story of Jonah. When Jesus said, "Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 12 and verse 40. While Jonah appears in the middle of these so-called minor prophets, he is unlike any who come before him and any who follow him. The book of Jonah is not a collection of his sermons or prophecies that he went around declaring. It's not even a book written by Jonah. Rather, it is a book about one mission God gave him: to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. But it's what happened in his journey that makes this a story that many find hard to swallow. Now, I don't mean tonight to do a feasibility study. Brother Simpson just got that. I don't mean tonight to study Jonah from the perspective of did this really happen. I am certain that I'm speaking to an audience tonight who believes this to be fact. But what makes Jonah different is that he was a minor prophet who was a major problem. Because he didn't respond the way the other prophets did. He didn't respond the same way Zechariah and Haggai and all those other prophets did when the word of the Lord came to them. We would expect Jonah to respond the same way that Samuel did when he found out it's not Eli who's calling you, that's the voice of the Lord. We would expect Jonah to say, "Speak, thy servant is listening." But when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, verse 3 says, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This is a book about second chances. You ever needed one of those? It wasn't just about God giving a message to the people of Nineveh. He was giving a message to his prophet. And by extension, a message for all of us. Because I want to suggest four areas and where we've all been, where Jonah was. Number one, have you ever tried to run from what's right? Something you knew that God wanted you to do, and you said, "I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to do it your way." Well, that's what Jonah did. The word of the Lord came to him and said in verse 2, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, the nation that would bring the northern tribes of Israel to its knees, a nation that was known for its cruelty to its enemies. When the Library of Nineveh was discovered in 1850, there were pictures uncovered of them taking their enemies and fastening a fish hook into their jaw and having put their eyes out, carried them away into captivity. The people of Assyria would surround a city, and those who happened to escape or were killed in battle were put up on a stake to show, "This is what's coming for you." And Nineveh itself was so great that later we learn it took 3 days to walk from one city limit sign to the other city limit sign. And now the word of the Lord has come to you and said, "Go tell those people judgment is coming." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That last phrase literally means from the face of Jehovah. He tried to run away from what was right, from what God told him to do. And he went down to Tarshish and then found a ship going down to Joppa and then went all the way down at the bottom of the ship. But still, he could not escape what was right. Have you ever, like Jonah, tried to run away from what you knew was right? Keep your place here, but look back to Psalm 139, a psalm of David, who paints the omnipresence of God as if you're looking at a compass to show that no matter which direction you go, you can never outrun God. Psalm 139, verse 7. "Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn in the east, even there thy hand will lead me. If I dwell, verse 9, in the remotest part of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, to them, to the west, even there thy right hand will lay hold of me. I remember playing hide and seek with the kids when they were younger. And they used to think that if they couldn't see you, you couldn't see them. They were freshmen in high school. And when we would play this, I would win. There are some people that think that as long as I don't see what I'm supposed to be doing, then it doesn't apply to me anymore. I'll stop going to church. You hadn't run away from what's right. I'll stop answering their calls and texts and emails. You hadn't run away from what's right. I'll stop praying. You hadn't run away from what's right. It didn't matter how far Jonah went or how far down. He couldn't outrun God. And he couldn't run away from his responsibilities. How can you escape from someone who is everywhere all the time? You can't run away from your problems. One of the disadvantages of this area, where there are so many good, sound congregations of God's people, is that it can create a series of church hoppers who, instead of working out their problems with their brethren, just leave and go somewhere else. But you can't run away from those. It doesn't take them away. They're still there. Have you ever, like Jonah, tried to run away from what's right? Then this is the book for you. Because we all need second chances. And Jonah got his. Number two, have you ever been so stubborn that you stirred up a storm? You ever been so self-willed and stubborn that you stirred up a storm? Let's continue our reading at verse 4 of chapter 1. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, so that there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now here's a man who has decided he's going to run away from the face of the Lord, or at least try to. But in so doing, his one decision has affected literally a boatload of people. Now think about This storm God sent to intercept the ship has now affected the lives of these sailors. It's affected their livelihood because there are people who are waiting on the cargo on this ship, and now they've thrown that overboard. So now they're not going to get paid, and the people who are waiting for the cargo are not going to get what they want. And the owner of the ship, his ship, it says, is about to break up. It's going to cost money to repair it. But because of one man's selfish choice, he stirred up a storm in the lives of people who weren't even involved. And do you want to know how far away you get from God when you try to run away from what's right? These pagan, heathen sailors have to wake up the prophet of God and say, it's time to pray. You ever been put to shame by people of the world who seem to have more faith than you did? Here, you're the one supposed to be the example to them, and they seem to be more believer than you are. That's what happens when you try to run away from right. And there's an easy solution. All Jonah had to do was say, Lord, you got my attention. I'm ready to go to Nineveh. I'm ready to go preach like you want me to. But look at what he decides. Verse 11, they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. Don't think for a moment that Jonah's trying to be the martyr and saying, I'll sacrifice myself for the good of the ship. No, he is so stubborn that he said, I'd rather die in the sea and drown than go preach to the people of Nineveh. Have you ever been so stubborn when you knew you were wrong, but you kept going no matter how increasingly stormy it became? Because you'd rather stir up a storm than admit I was wrong. I messed that up. I need a second chance. Remember what the Lord said to Saul when he humbled him on the road to Damascus? Saul, why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you trying to fight a battle against God? You're not going to win. Submit. You say, well, it's my life. Is it? Or does it also affect those around you? You ever been so stubborn that you stirred up a storm? Well, this is the book for you. Because we can get a second chance. Number three, have you ever thought that you'd gone too far to turn around? Verse 17 of chapter 1 says, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So the sailors finally relented and threw Jonah overboard. And just as he said, immediately the sea stopped its raging. And chapter 2 begins with Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. Now you would think that the words that followed would be a prayer for help. Get me out of here. Rescue me. But chapter 2 is a prayer from the belly of the fish of thanksgiving. Well, what would Jonah have to be thankful for? Verse 2, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. He's drowning. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. As Jonah was sinking to the depth of the sea, he had a change of heart. And he prayed to God. And the fish was his salvation. The fish swallowed him and rescued him from drowning. Most people who attempt suicide by throwing themselves off the Golden Gate Bridge are tremendously successful. There's a story of a man who did just that and hit the water at just the right angle that he survived the fall. And the people who were watching, with even greater amazement, saw when he came back up and started swimming. They sent a boat out to rescue him. They said, sir, if we may ask, here you're trying to kill yourself when you hit the water. Why'd you start swimming? He said, as soon as I let go of that bridge, I said to myself, I wish I hadn't done that. You ever been there before? Jonah had. As soon as he started sinking in the water, I wish I hadn't done that. And God gave him a second chance. God heard his prayer in the depth of the sea. You think you can go so far and so low from God that he can't hear you and reach you and rescue you? As long as there is breath, there is hope. Hope for a second chance. He said in verse 9, I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed I will pay. We can surmise that the vow went something like this. Lord, I will go to Nineveh. If you give me another chance, I will make this right. And now he says, I'm ready. You ever thought that you've gone too far to turn around? Well, this is the book for you. because we all need the second chance. And that's how chapter 3 begins, isn't it? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. There's the second chance, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." Now in chapter 1, where the next word is the word "but," look what Jonah does with his second chance. Verse 3, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. And Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk. And he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." We mentioned in the beginning that Jonah was unlike the other minor prophets. Well, that is especially so in this regard. He was successful. His message worked. And all he did was say, "In 40 days, this city will be overthrown." And people listened. The people of Nineveh believed in God, verse 5, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water." Verse 9, "Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we might not perish." When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. How sad that this story is overshadowed by a man spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. Now that is miraculous. God had a hand in that. But I want you to know that's not the greatest miracle of the story. The greatest miracle of this book is that a people who were so wicked that it said it had come up to God in heaven. And he forgave them. They repented and he forgave them. And all those things he said he was going to do to judge them, he changed his mind. All those sins which they had committed, he forgave. Number 4, have you ever received mercy but were unwilling to give it? Been the recipient of God's forgiveness, but when it came time to forgive another, said, "I just can't forgive." You would expect Jonah would be the first in line to receive all the sinners, wouldn't you? Unfortunately, this book has another but. Chapter 4 and verse 1, "But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity.'" How did Jonah know that? How did he know that about God? Because he had received it. When he was the one who needed mercy and was pleading to God, he received it. And now a whole city is begging God's forgiveness and fasting and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And he says, "God, wipe them out." They don't deserve it. Have you ever been the recipient of God's mercy, but were unwilling to extend it to somebody else? We think we get to decide when God is merciful and when He gives justice. When it's us, well, we want the mercy. When it's somebody else, let them have it. You say, well, why should I forgive him? What's she done to deserve forgiveness? Well, that's what God would do. That's what God has done. That's what he did for you. And Jesus said, if you cannot forgive your brother and sister for their trespasses against you, then how can you pray to God that he forgives you? Jonah knew firsthand that God was a gracious and compassionate God. But he was not willing that the enemy of God's people, the Assyrians, receive that same blessing. You ever been there? Well, this is a book for you. Because especially in this respect, do we all need a second chance? For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then Jesus said these words, but something greater than Jonah is here. Aren't you glad he's here? And that he's given all of us second chance. Let's don't let that one get away. Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the earth, and he rose again, and he broke the bonds of sin and death, that it can no longer have dominion over us. And he gives us victory if we will, in obedient faith to him, confess our sins, and repenting, be baptized and have them washed away. He gives us a second chance when we wandered away to come back to him and make it right. We're going to sing a song right now that would encourage you to do that. And if we can assist you to make that known right now while we stand and while we sing.